Now, two earthquakes in 2 weeks, more than 90 people are dead. This is, of course, in a region to which Australians are no stranger. The residents of Lombok, they are assessing the damage, counting the cost. Many will wonder whether the danger has passed. Now, Professor Chris Elders is a plate tectonics and structural geology expert. He's from the Curtin University in the West. Chris, welcome.
Hello.
Can we expect more quakes and aftershocks?
Well, I think we can certainly expect aftershocks to continue. There have actually been aftershocks continuing for quite a long time since the initial quake struck. As to whether or not there'll be a large earthquake, that's something that's really very difficult to tell. It's an area that's very tectonically active, so large earthquakes do occur fairly regularly, but whether it'll be a month or a year or 10 years or 100 years till the next one in this particular place is really very difficult to say.
I mean, we're dealing clearly with geological time, and events can be connected over a long span, not necessarily days or weeks.
Absolutely, yes. So in fact, it's a process that's been going on for millions of years and will continue for millions of years into the future, in fact.
What is taking place to cause the earthquake that we saw at Lombok?
Well, the reason for it is that Australia is moving north towards Indonesia at about rate of about 7 centimetres a year. So relatively slow in some respects, but quite quickly.
That
actually,
sounds quite of, quick.
In terms of tectonic processes, well, a good analogy is that your fingernails grow at about 2 centimetres a year. So it's about 3.5 times as quickly as your fingernails grow. That means that the ocean crust to the north of Australia is going down underneath all the islands on the southern part of Indonesia, and that pressure generates earthquakes, and it also causes the volcanoes that we see in that area as well.
Is this a process that will continue, you know, perpetually, or does it have a particular span? Will that work of movement be done at some point?
It will carry on until Australia eventually collides with Indonesia. And while that might sound somewhat alarming, in fact, that is what has happened already further to the east in Timor. The collision has taken place there, and this northward movement is continuing further to the west.
So the activity that we see in this region, that's all related to that movement?
It is, yes, that's right. And you can, in fact, trace the same zone of activity through Bali into Java, and then up through Sumatra, and eventually connecting with the Andaman Islands. It's all the same process of the Indian Ocean plate moving northwards.
So that process and the inevitability of, I imagine, further earthquakes and eruptions as part of that process, that has implications for our thinking when it comes to rebuilding, I imagine.
Well, yes, that's right. It means that we can recognise that certain areas are very prone to earthquake activity. And then the important thing is that in those areas, there are appropriate building codes so that buildings are built in order that they can withstand the largest expected earthquake. And then obviously the other challenge is to enforce those building codes to make sure that buildings do comply to those standards.
The recent volcanic activity in Bali, that's also related here, same thing?
Yes, it's part of the same process. So when the crust goes down underneath Indonesia, the sort of friction and the build-up of stresses is what causes the earthquakes to occur, but also the heating and the release of a lot of fluids is what causes the volcanic activity.
How interdependent are the other zones of the world? I mean, this is happening in our part of the world. Should other people on the other side of that Pacific belt, that ring of fire so-called, should they be concerned? People, for example, in San Francisco?
Well, they would have the same sort of concerns as people in Indonesia. In other words, they know that they live in an earthquake-prone area. But what happens here doesn't necessarily have any direct implications for what will happen on the other side of the belt. It's just like a whole mosaic of jigsaw pieces moving around on the surface of the earth.
And do we have, I was going to ask whether that earthquake in Lombok was felt here. I wonder if there is an advantage in being part of the plate which is slipping underneath as opposed to the plate which is riding over the top.
Well, there could be, but in fact, as we know, every now and again there's relatively small or comparatively small earthquakes in Australia. So although Australia is a very stable, ancient continental mass, it is surprisingly prone to earthquakes, and that's a result of all those processes occurring in Indonesia, in the Indian Ocean, in the Pacific Ocean, and in the Southern Ocean. So Australia is surrounded by plate boundaries that can generate the stresses that produce earthquakes in Australia as well.
A stable and an ancient mass, and yet one moving north at 7 centimetres a year.
Absolutely, that's right, yes. You can think of it like being on a graceful, slowly moving ocean liner gliding through the sea.
You say that it's difficult to, you know, put time frames around that, and yet you say inevitably within Indonesia there will be other quakes. I mean, when will the science be more precise about that and be able to tell, for example, the people of Lombok that it's quite likely that in 6.5 months' time this might happen?
Well, I think that it's difficult to put a time frame on when earthquakes will occur, but I think unfortunately it's probably also very difficult to put a time frame on when our predictions will become that accurate. I think obviously things are improving. In Japan they have very sophisticated warning systems that can sort of tell people more or less instantaneously when earthquakes are happening, but of course that's a little bit late to necessarily do much about it. So the most important thing really is to build buildings that are able to withstand earthquake shock, and also to maybe consider risk of landslips and other things that may occur on steep slopes, as we've actually also seen in Lombok, in areas close to likely seismic activity.
Chris, thank you so much. It's deeply interesting stuff.
Well, thank you. Nice to talk to you.
Professor Chris Elders, he's from Curtin University's School of Earth and Planetary Sciences.